For a story open today, the Pharisees take the lead, my favorite foil. You recall the Pharisees, right? They were the holy and devout, self-appointed experts on religious law. And they come to Jesus, trying to trap him in this no-win question. Is it okay to pay taxes to Rome or not? You might notice they even started out with this preamble. They said, now, Jesus, we know that you are fair, that you show no partiality, that you don't take sides. So, take a side on this question. This was not a good question. There were two sides. One side that the Pharisees headed up, they kind of liked the Roman occupation because the Roman occupation allowed them to stay in power and they made money doing it. That was a minority. The other side, as you would call the have-nots, they couldn't stand Roman occupation. They wanted Rome out, and they were ready to support any revolt or insurrection that came along. And for both sides, paying taxes to Rome meant that you supported Roman occupation. Now, did you notice that Jesus doesn't answer the question directly? Instead, he comes back to them with another question. He says, well, tell you what, fellas. Show me whose picture is on those coins you carry with them. Now, our story doesn't tell this, but there's another Jewish law that says you cannot have any images of human beings. Not paintings, not statues, and not coins. You have to have in the name of the emperor. So here Jesus is calling their bluff. And he was pointing out that they were more than willing to break one law in order to try to trap him in another. They really didn't care what he said. If he said yes, he'd take the side of those who supported Rome. If he said no, he would be taking the side of those who opposed Roman rule. No matter what he said, it was simply a cheap attempt to draw Jesus into partisan politics. Now, you might be aware that we have an election coming up in this country on November 4th, so it might be good to look at this. Unless you do not have a radio or a TV, you have probably heard people use words of Jesus to try to support a particular partisan view. That is not what Jesus is about. Jesus refuses to be limited by our time-limited, short-sighted partisan agendas. Some scholars suggest that that is why Jesus did not want to use the term Messiah. Because in his time, the title Messiah was used by those who wanted to support a revolt against Rome. So if he used the term Messiah, he'd be thrown in with that camp. So instead, Jesus chose his title, the Son of Humanity. He did not want to get tossed around in those sort of short-term partisan debates that seem so urgent in the moment and that we don't know or care about. Now, you might notice that I'm using the word partisan and not political. It's because there's a big difference between partisan and political. Partisan has to do with different political parties, conservative, centrist, liberal, and everything in between. That is what Jesus refuses to be associated with. But political is about the combination of the effect of power, wealth, and people. And whenever you combine power, wealth, and people, you have the political arena. Jesus is intensely political because he keeps talking about power, wealth, and people. But what he is absolutely not is partisan. As followers of Jesus, we are called into that political arena, seeking justice, caring for the poor, the least, the lost, and the last, the homeless, the hungry. But Jesus does not call us to join a particular political party over another one, as if one party has a corner on living the way of the gospel. All the parties around, they might come close in some ways, but in other ways, they are light years away. There is not a single Christian party. If there was a party that called itself Christian, it wouldn't be. See, if we try to reduce Jesus to a particular party, we are effectively repeating the Pharisees' challenge. Will you take a side? And by the way, will you take my side? No matter how you answer that question, we lose. Now, we know that in the last 10, 15 years, the political arena has become much more intense, often reduced to an all-or-nothing, zero-sum game, where the party on the other side is sometimes vilified and painted as evil. And if we drag Jesus into that, who wins? Well, we lose Jesus in it, so Satan, the devil, forces of evil, whatever you want to call it. And who loses? We do. We miss the point. Because it's an attempt to try to fit Jesus into our lives instead of trying to make our lives like His. The challenge remains to try to be more like Jesus instead of making Jesus more like us. See, the main question is not whether our favorite political party wins. It's whether we love and whether we show mercy. So tell me, Jesus, is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor? I can just about hear Jesus sigh. Fellas, with all the things at stake, you're asking me about this? You want me to take sides on this little thing? It's kind of like watching your house burn down and then asking, so what should we have for lunch? It's not the biggest, most important thing right now. Jesus came, inviting them to leave the limits of this little religion behind and enter into a full, loving, unconditional connection with God. They wanted to limit Jesus to the political intrigue of the day. I mean, could they think any smaller? That was their problem. They were thinking too small. They couldn't see past the next thing in front of their face. So in their little tunnel vision world, they couldn't or didn't want to see anything else. It was, by the way, that same kind of limited thinking that led them to conspire with those very Romans who they hated to have Jesus killed. So at one level, they were obsessed with following laws for fear of being punished by God. At another level, they really didn't care what kind of answer Jesus gave, just so he could give some answer so they could put him into a corner and make it easier to get rid of him. Give to the emperor the things that are the emperor's. Give to God the things that are God's. See, instead of stepping into the trap of their limited question, Jesus raises a different question. What belongs to God? Now, our inner skeptic might think, I get it. He's talking about money or a particular position on a specific event in our own time. That's aimed too small. That's an attempt to reduce Jesus to a bumper sticker. Jesus' words are not about just one thing. What Jesus wants is our hearts first, our lives, our souls, the very essence of who we are. We are always going to be tempted to try to make Jesus like us instead of trying to be more like Jesus. And every time we do, we miss the boat. But Jesus invites us into a living faith that is more than words or following some kind of religion. Jesus calls us into a faith that trusts God to love us always, no matter what, even when we stray. And Jesus saves us from our foolishness, our arrogance. Jesus even saves us from ourselves when we become consumers instead of God's children. When we, like Pharisees, think too small and can only see 6 inches in front of us, asking what's in it for me today. But we might be tempted to get stuck in the Pharisees' question. What is lawful? See, that question, by the way, what is lawful? That's always the way that we ask, okay, so how many things can I do wrong and still be considered good? Right? That's the next question. But instead of answering that question, it's a fear-based question designed to divide us. Instead, we're better off living with Jesus' question. What belongs to God? Well, you do. I do. We do. Along with everything we have. And God is ready to work through us and with us and in us, making miracles of hope and healing happen, showing and sharing the ways of the kingdom of God, God's ways of love, not simply following simplistic rules. God wants all of us, our hearts and our lives, everything we have, because we've already been set free to make a difference in this world. Jesus doesn't want us wasting time taking sides. Instead, he calls us to love others, to repent of our sinfulness that most often shows in being selfish. He calls us to care for the least, and the lost, and the last in his name. There's no signs of that. We love God by loving others. Give to God what belongs.